Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle. This week we have the NFL draft. So it's our opportunity to talk about the Penn State players who we might see get their names called in this week's, what do you call it, a virtual draft or teledraft or something to that effect. But I do know we're also starved for some any kind of sports news that I can't wait for the draft, Greg, and I've never been that way before. How about you?
It is so surreal to me, Jim. I was talking to some people recently, and then we just kind of got on the topic of, you know, holy heck, it's actually the NFL draft coming up here. So it's hard to fathom, really. Usually there's so much buzz. There's so much hoopla. We're watching the guys arrive at the draft site, and there's all the on-site stuff going on. And now that's just not the case. We live in this world, of course, where it's not possible. Roger Goodell is going to broadcast live from his basement, and I'll probably be the millionth person and to echo that it will be a great disappointment if he doesn't have the sense of humor to have his wife and kids come boo him after he announces the first pick. You know, if he can't take that layup, Jim, then, you know, what's the point of all of this? So fingers crossed that he has some common sense and some light feelings on that and makes that happen for all of us, hoping so. But yeah, no, look, it's interesting. I spent some time earlier this week talking with Etor Grosmatos and his agent Andy Sims from Young Money Sports, and they were both just like, you know, we're trying to make the best of it, but it's certainly hard to do a lot of this pre-draft stuff when you can't be in person and you're trying to feel somebody's personality out over the phone, over a Zoom meeting, over a FaceTime call, whatever. It's really hard to do a lot of those things that maybe are more nuanced part of it. And I can't imagine, too, the guys who needed a pro day performance to showcase something and didn't, or the guys who need medical evaluations who can't go get those. Look, we're talking about first world problems here compared to what a lot of people are dealing with right now that has nothing to do with sports. But you can't talk about the draft, I don't think, without recognizing that so many of the things that usually go into this process are not happening anymore. And I think you can debate, you know, how important that is or isn't, and what, you know, how, you know, what differences that make, things like that. But ultimately, the challenge will be, you know, will all the technology work the way it's supposed to? If you follow the ESPN reporters who were in contact with GMs and coaches and stuff, all they did was complain, the league personnel did, about whether or not things are going to work the way you expect them to. So that'll be a challenge, and it'll be fascinating to see it all unfold.
If the rest of the world could do a Zoom meeting, I would think the NFL should be able to. So anyway, you mentioned his name. Let's start there with Etor Grosmatos. It seems so consistent for so long towards the end of the first round. I did a quick look just to see some of these mock drafts, and the first three I looked at had him going either Minnesota at 25, Miami 26, or Ravens at 28. Pretty consistent. Is that about where you see him going, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question at this point, Jim, is, you know, there's a lot of people out there who seem to believe that the media mock drafts this year will be more incorrect and inconsistent than ever before because of all the inability to gather information in person at pro days and things. That we'll see if that's actually true or not. I have my suspicions that it may not be as true as those with Inside the Shield want to admit. But yeah, Etor there at the end of the first round, early in the second, certainly seems about right. You know, obviously he's a really talented guy who's going to make somebody very happy as a pass rusher. And I think a lot of it, as it always does, will just depend on what happens ahead of, you know, some of these teams that are expected to take him. Will trades change things? Will teams find a way to move up that are expected to take him but see somebody on the board they just have to have otherwise? Will that alter plans for teams? So we'll be surprised if Etor doesn't go in the first round, but I think it could be just about anybody there at the back end of the first round. One thing to note, Jim, he is one of the 58 players who the NFL invited to be virtually a part of the draft, and so they sent two cameras to his house, one that will continuously run a stream of him while he's watching the draft, and then one that's set up for interviews with the league's TV partner. So that's what they're doing for the those guys that they invited. Ito, of course, was supposed to be one of 27 who was going to be on site in the green room at the draft in Las Vegas. Now he's one of 58 that's doing this special virtual video treatment. So that's a pretty neat thing to keep in mind.
Very nice. That's very cool. Now, where Ito Grossmatos, every mock draft seems very consistent late in the first round. KJ Hamler is a much more interesting guy for several reasons. First, as you mentioned about guys not being able to work, he was not able to run at the combine, and speed is his forte. I'm sure he would have loved to have had a pro day. And I've seen mock drafts with him. I saw one where he kind of snuck into the first round. Seems most say second round. I saw one where he might stick around to the third round. Now, that's a more interesting take. Where do you see KJ Hamler going?
Man, I find it really difficult to put my finger on where he is going to end up, Jim, because, you know, we've heard Mel Kiper Jr. and some of the other analysts really endlessly kind of debate whether or not he's going to drop because of what they've been calling inconsistencies in his game at Penn State. And, you know, fairly or unfairly, he clearly didn't catch the ball as well last year as I think most people predicted and expected him to, but he still had a pretty good year. Question in my mind is, what does that mean for teams that had questions they wanted to answer him to answer at Pro Day or during interviews? And was he able to do all that stuff virtually the way he would have done it if he was doing it at his training facility, Orange State College, depending on how all that would have played out? So there seems to be a growing, right before we started recording, Jim, I was doing some reading, and there seems to be a pretty big growing consensus among NFL media members doing the mock drafts that the Eagles could very well take KJ in the second round with the pick that they have. I think it's 53 overall. It's definitely in the mid 50 in terms of overall picks, which is about middle of the second round. So that's something to keep in mind. Obviously, team up with Miles Sanders down there, and the Eagles do need a receiver. And I think the question they have to answer, not to veer too much from our Penn State talk, is, but with where they pick in the draft, is there going to be the top level receiver that they need available, or are those guys going to go off the board early? And I think if those guys do go off the board before the Eagles pick, that means they might go linebacker, which would obviously put them in position to potentially take KJ if he's there when they pick in the second round Friday night.
Well, as a fellow Eagles fan, I've been watching that also. And the other thing that's relevant with Eagles and KJ Hamler is there are so many good receivers coming out this year. That big three of CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. And by the way, I love Jerry Jeudy, but so there's talk of the Eagles maybe trading up for one of those three. If they stay where they're at, it's that next level of Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Denzel Mims from Baylor. Or, as you said, do they fill another position? And because there's such depth at wide receiver, do they wait to the second round and still get a quality player, potentially KJ Hamler? I think a lot of us as Penn State fans and Eagle fans love that. I loved Miles Sanders going to the Eagles. If KJ Hamler went there, I would love that also. Let's hit some of the other players on the team, Greg, who may or may not get drafted. And I'll just throw them out there. Robert Windsor, John Reed, Cam Brown, Blake Gilligan, the punter. Any of these guys you think are going to sneak their way into the back end of the draft?
So I'm now seeing John Reed, the buzz on him is going through the roof. I mean, Terry Smith said last week that he's the most – I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. He's one of the best corners in the draft in terms of technique and fundamentals, I believe, is what Coach Smith said.
And wasn't it something about how he uses his feet or
– Yes. Yep, and his hips and everything else. So I'm now seeing fourth or fifth round projections for John Reed. Previously, it was more six or seven. So I think that's pretty interesting. And we've seen a lot of analysts echo that too. You know, Robert Windsor, Cam Brown, both seem to be round six, round seven guys to me. I think it'll be Windsor, Brown, Reed, Etor, and KJ that get drafted. I mean, could somebody else sneak into the seventh round? Sure. I mean, everyone predicted that Trace McSorley wouldn't get drafted, and he was a sixth round pick. So I wouldn't go as far as saying that it's impossible for some of these other guys to get picked. But I feel pretty confident in saying those five guys are going to go off the board, and we'll see about anybody else from there.
Okay, so you had Grossmatos, Hamler, Windsor, Reed, and who was your fifth? Cam Brown?
Cam Brown, yes.
That's interesting. And I do think some of these other guys at least will get an opportunity to go to a camp. Like I said, Blake Gilligan, maybe a Jan Johnson or Garrett Taylor, they might get a chance. I do want to ask you also, Greg, about two former Nittany Lions, and those are Tommy Stevens and Juwan Johnson. And I was always a big Juwan Johnson fan. I think if someone picks him in the late round, he might surprise a bit. What are your thoughts on those two guys? And Tommy Stevens might be, you know, that slash player, someone who could do something beyond just playing quarterback. Do you think either one of them will hear their name called?
I will be surprised if Tommy Stevens does. Actually, I'll be shocked, quite frankly. I mean, I know that we obviously got to see some hints from here and there about what he's capable of doing, but I mean, never really, to me, reached the potential that I think a lot of people thought he could. And then when you look at Juwan Johnson, I would be surprised, conversely, if he doesn't hear his name called. People love big, talented receivers. He showed some really good things down the stretch at Oregon. He's a well-respected guy in terms of all the off-field criteria that teams want to check before they pick a guy. He's a 5-6-7 round guy to me, I think, Jim. He's a guy who should hear his name called. But Tommy Stevens, I just don't think that's the case. And let's talk real quick about the undrafted free agent process, because it's going to be different than it is in most years. And a lot of years, it's a scramble, and coaches and scouts and things like that are in touch with players toward the end of the draft and saying, hey, look, you know, we might be able to pick you with our last pick. We might not. But if we can't pick you, we want to sign you when we have the opportunity to do so as soon as the draft ends. So I don't know how that's all going to work now with the technology and the virtual nature of everything. And also keep in mind, too, that a lot of these undrafted free agent guys, why do guys not get drafted? And obviously, some cases it's talent. They're just not as good as the other guys on the board. But there's also pretty big medical concerns sometimes with guys who don't get drafted, but the teams are willing to take a risk on bringing into camp and seeing if they can work through those problems and become better players than what maybe their draft stock indicates. Well, they can't do physicals at team facilities right now. So how does that change things? So it's going to be fascinating. And I would caution folks that there's probably going to be a lot of misinformation flying around at the end of the draft and even Sunday morning. That was the case previously, again, when there wasn't a global health crisis. I think it's going to be even more stated now and be a little bit messier now, just simply because of the fact that, you know, again, a lot of the pre-draft stuff that teams would do to check in on not just the top guys on their board, but also the ones who are a little bit further down it, they just can't do it at this point in time.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. We've got just a couple seconds. Who gets drafted first, Tua or Herbert?
Oh, great question, Jim. I mean, I think when you look at those two guys, there's a lot of draft props in the betting world that will be a part of that conversation. I think it's Tua, though, for sure.
I like Tua, too, and I'd like to say, you know, the injuries were, you know, crazy things, and that if he's over it, I think he can be a really good one. I'm anxious to see where he ends up. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Quarter number four, Ask Greg.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.